KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. You've probably noticed the massive disruption going on in journalism. Just 3 years ago, it brought down the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, turning Seattle into one newspaper town. What more changes can we expect in 21st century journalism, and what does it mean to you? Award-winning reporter Claudia Rowe explores those themes in a talk called The New Front Page that she's doing for Humanity's Washington Speakers Bureau.
The job of newspaper reporter is listed as the fifth worst of 200 possible occupations in the United States. The news industry is today proceeding almost entirely as a business, without any gesture toward providing a means of communication or societal good. So my presentation asks the question, what is the role of the journalist today? Is it to provide the news that you want to know, or news that you need to know? This question is today being reevaluated at potentially ruinous cost. I hope you will join me for the conversation.
Claudia Rowe, welcome to the conversation. I appreciate
Thanks
you being
having
here.
Me.
Claudia Rowe, you've probably read her in the Seattle PI. She's been in journalism for 20 years. She's also written for the New York Times, Mother Jones, Yes Magazine, and Seattle Met. That's a great question that you pose in that little promo for your talk. Is it the news you want or the news you need? It's kind of both, isn't it? You need to provide news that people want to find out about as well as what they need to know.
Right. I think that traditional newspapers used to do a pretty good job of both. They really focused on providing a mix of deep investigative and lighter lifestyle stuff. What you see now is this very clear fragmenting of those roles. And with online news, nonprofit journalism more taking the investigative, deeper stories that take longer to produce, and aggregation sites such as MSN and others providing more the quick hit, quick turn, breaking news or celebrity gossip stuff.
You know, it's been said that there's nothing wrong with news. What's wrong is the business model for news. And I've often thought that what if you got your Seattle Times by the section? What if you could just buy the sports section if you wanted to, or just buy the local news section? And what's happened in reality is that that's actually what's going on online. I mean, you've got specialty sites like Publicola with former reporters where it's just news about one particular thing, not too much elsewhere. And it's, as they call it, disintermediated. It's split out all over the place. Is that bad for us as consumers to have it going all over the place rather than in one place?
I think it's not necessarily bad. What I think it does is fragment a sense of community. And now you get a sense of kind of community of ideas. So you're going to places where other readers or listeners share perhaps your interest in a certain topic or certain kind of idea presentation. So it's not so much a geographic or local community that the local newspaper, for instance, or the local station used to provide. With less and less local news, you're losing that sense of local community. And I think community can sound like a kind of quaint word to people, but it's really much more profound than that.
One of the things that you talk about in your talk is that news reporters are like the fifth worst on a list of 200 different professions. If what news reporters do is so important, then why is it such a bad job?
It's such a bad job now, though I have loved it deeply, and I don't think it's such a bad job. But I can understand why somebody making such a survey would call it that, because there's virtually no job security anymore. The pay is pretty abysmal. And the sense of trust from the audience is just constantly, constantly undermined. Much of the reason is, you know, to be blamed at the feet of the journalism industry anyway. But because you have less and less community trust, no job security, and pretty paltry salaries, I can understand why the people who created that list now say being a cab driver or a dishwasher is actually a better job.
And journalists in general are held in fairly low regard when you look at lists of popular professions, right? I think firefighters are kind of up at the top and politicians and journalists are kind of down at the bottom, aren't they?
That is my impression, and that is a very different feeling than I had when I began in the business in the early 1990s. Perhaps that's just, you know, the tradition I came out of, but I was raised to see this as an honorable, sort of vaunted profession. Now people, you know, laugh or shake their heads sadly when they find out that you are a reporter.
It's a tough job. It's, as you say, not a lot of job security and a lot of different factors going into play when it comes to people being evaluated. One of the things that you take a look at is how this change in news has affected us in the Northwest and how it's really in many ways removed a lot of news sources that we would have had in the past. Like if you're waiting for some coverage of your local community, maybe you have fewer options to go to.
Yeah, in huge parts of the state, Seattle is obviously an exception, and much of the western side of the state is an exception. But this is a very large state and huge swaths have virtually zero access to any kind of local news. There are, according to a WSU study that came out in the summer, I think only 23 towns or cities in the state that actually have a local news venue, a newspaper or station. So only 23 in a state the size of Washington, that leaves enormous areas uncovered at the local level.
Not to mention Olympia, where we've seen the Olympia press corps shrinking a lot, and state government's a pretty big beat to cover. There are fewer people there to cover that, too, right?
Yeah, I think it's shrunk by 80% in the last 5 years or so. That brings it back to the audience, and I think that's a really important point to make. One of the great things about the internet and the rise of online news is the fact that the internet makes it so easy to see who's clicking on what and what the consumer, the viewer, the reader, the listener, what the audience wants. So when people grouse and complain about they're not getting this and they're not getting that, they actually have a role in, you know, what you click on is noticed. It does matter. And I think that editors are listening more than ever before to reader comments, to phone calls, to emails. They really are needing to know and responding to what the audience chooses. So
Claudia Rowe is my guest, and she's doing a presentation for Humanities Washington for their Speakers Bureau called The New Front Page. It's based on the changes that she's seeing in journalism. If you've got a question or comment for her, it's 206-543-5869. 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation at kuow.org. I see we've got Anne on the line giving us a call from the University District. Let's go to her right now and see what she has to say about this. Anne, thanks for calling.
Who are you talking to? Are you talking to Anne?
I'm talking to Anne. Are you Anne?
I'm Anne.
Then I'm talking to you.
Sorry, I was just talking to your other guy on the phone. Yes, the thing I'm calling about is that you are both using the word over and over, consumer, consumer, consumer. The point of journalism is to serve a free media that is serving citizens, not consumers. And the more you buy into just habitually looking at journalism as a consumer item, the more you ruin journalism. And there is an alternative. It's called the Banyan Project. It is in Haverhill, Massachusetts, and it's a cooperative where the readers are part of the system, and they are in a cooperative owning the newspaper. And I think that we have to really pay attention to, as journalists, how we regard our industry. And so this is what I'm calling about.
Sure.
I want you to talk about the citizen's need, not the consumer's need.
That's a great idea, and making that distinction is an important one. Anne, thanks a lot for your phone call. Is it a mistake to refer to people who read newspapers or listen to radio as consumers? Is that kind of intellectually taking us on the wrong track?
It is a term that news managers often use. News, mainstream news at least, is a business. It is producing a product that is different in nonprofit journalism somewhat, but nonprofit journalism is also producing a product, and it certainly cares about the numbers of people who tune in or read. So I try to refer to the news audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that, you know, has a coloration on it that Anne is referring to, but I think of the people we write for as our audience. And I understand what you're saying about citizens taking a more active role, in, as in the Banyan Project. That's an interesting way to go, but it probably has its drawbacks as well.
Like what?
Well, I think that when we talk about citizen journalism, for instance, and that's not exactly maybe what Anna's referring to, though it may be, citizen journalists typically are less experienced, self-appointed, and have generally a pretty strong agenda or axe to grind or reason that they're involved with this or that issue. And as long as that is made plain to the reader, to the audience, the listener, whatever, as long as where you're coming from is made clear, that's fine. That's advocacy journalism. But oftentimes it's not made plain, and you need to know what the agenda is of the person you're getting your information from.
Claudia, your talk is called is about the 21st century, and we're just in the very beginning of the 21st century. Do you think the state of news today in 2012 is going to be radically different in 10 years?
I do. I think that the industry at all levels, mainstream and nonprofit, is rapidly changing because it's flailing in searching for a successful business model, and because of the change in technology and the rapidly changing technology. So I do believe that news is going to continue to become more factionalized, more tailored to the individual audience member who may get the kind of news he or she chooses on their smartphone, for instance. That is what a lot of people say now, though we hardly can foresee what kind of handheld technology we'll have in 10, 15 years and what that will do to the news delivery system. And the news delivery system is in some measure dictating the actual news product. And I think that's the point.
The business is tougher, but is the business really that much different than it ever was? Aren't the people who started big newspapers, weren't they always in it to make a lot of money?
I think that there has been a shift, largely unheralded. I think that traditionally, and I'm talking 100 years ago, a lot of newspapers were family-owned by families that lived in their communities. So they had a stake in their community. They certainly were business owners, very much interested in turning a profit, but they also had a very strong personal stake in the workings and function of their community. Increasingly, newspapers and other news outlets got bought by corporations. I worked for Gannett. I worked for Hearst. These are large national corporations, and they are not necessarily a family rooted in a community. They have a very different interest. Their interest is business. And I think that has become more and more unvarnished over the years. It's become increasingly plain that a corporate interest is in numbers.
But that involvement in the community that a local family-owned newspaper has, isn't that a double-edged sword? I mean, can't that also be their interest in the community being them having an agenda for that community that is their agenda that might not be for the betterment of the entire community?
Sure, it can be. I think what I failed to say earlier is that with that real stake in a community, the family-owned operation also had a sense of civic good, the fabric of community, alongside their business interest. So while they may have had certain financial or political drives, they also were interested in community debate, the dialogue over this or that issue. And that is less interesting to a corporation that's 3,000 miles away, understandably.
We're at 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. If you're interested in these issues having to do with journalism and its future, Claudia Rowe is doing a presentation on that for Humanities Washington Speakers Bureau. In fact, if you contact them, you could have him come to your group and talk about some of these ideas and share them with you and also get a chance to talk with them. 206-543-5869. We've got Greg on the line, and he's calling us today from Mukilteo. Greg, good afternoon. How you doing?
Just fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
What would you like to add?
Well, I was wondering, as you stated, that, you know, if journalism is a business, how much do corporations influence what is, you know, being told to the public? I mean, if you see alternative medias you know, they it's completely different than what the actual mainstream news seems to portray. So, you know, I was wondering if she would touch on, you know, the differences there. Because
that's a good question. And also the question of are all corporations the same? Are all corporate-run news organizations the same?
That's a very good question. I can tell you that I currently write for some mainstream news organizations and some nonprofit news organizations, and they direct me very differently. I certainly have never had any editor at any point in my career tell me we're not going to run that story because the big bosses don't like it. That has never happened at the tiny places I've worked at and the massive corporate-owned places I've worked at. However, I have been told recently, very honestly and plainly, you can't write about poverty, class, race. We can't sell ads around that.
Hmm.
That is at a more mainstream news organization where they've told me straight up, we can't sell ads around those kinds of stories. They're depressing. When I have written for nonprofit news organizations, I don't hear that. I certainly hear an interest in audience response. They certainly want to provide material that is of interest to their audience, but the unvarnished, straight-ahead advertising interests are just not there, and thus the kinds of stories that you're telling are going to be different.
Claudia, where do you see the sort of bright lights on the horizon when it comes to journalism? We've been talking kind of about the downside, but do you see some things that give you a lot of hope?
I think that journalists as a breed are incredibly tough and resilient. So I have great faith in continuing experiments and ideas coming forward. I certainly think that outfits like Investigate West and ProPublica are doing strong, important work that I think is going to continue in some format. It is in foment, the entire industry. So it's sort of like a lot of lava bubbling up, and it's constantly changing these tectonic plates. But I do think that the hunger among readers and listeners and viewers is there, perhaps more than ever. The hunger for information is there, and that is a bright light. People really do want to know things, and that will drive changes. It's dependent on the kinds of things they want to know, in some part, but the hunger within the audience and the resilience within journalism is probably going to come to some good new place that we don't know yet.
Award-winning journalist Claudia Rowe. She's also doing the Speakers Bureau for Humanities Washington. You can contact them if you'd like to have them come and speak to your group and talk some more about these issues. We've barely scratched the surface. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our program produced by David Hyde with Arwin Nix. We get production help from Cameron Drews and Joshua McNichols. Andy Hurst is our engineer from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.